No, I'm one of the interpreters.
Oh, you're the interpreter. This is your bad.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. We were just talking.
Oh, no.
Yes, you're here for the bad.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Mr. Clark, are you ready? Derek, are you ready?
Okay.
Commissioner, you guys ready? Everybody ready? Good evening. Am I on? Can you guys hear me?
Okay.
Good evening. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Welcome to the July 21st, 2025. If I could have it quiet, please. Special meeting of the Planning Commission. Mr. Clark, could you please call the roll?
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Winninger?
Here.
Commissioner McCarty is absent. Commissioner Abbey?
Here.
Commissioner Zucker?
Here.
Commissioner Comden is absent. Vice Chair Busa?
Here.
Chair Lagerquist?
Here. Thank you.
Five members are present.
Okay, moving on on the agenda items, we're going to go to the public communications. This is a time we set aside always for members of the public to address the commission on items to the Planning Commission other than what's scheduled. Mr. Clark, do we have anybody speaking tonight for public?
Thank you, Chair Lagerquist. We do not.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, for consent items, we have none this evening. So moving on to our formal and only item this evening, which is the 2050 general plan update, mostly the draft environmental impact report open house. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rachel and Marija.
Thank you, Chair Lyrequist. Good evening, Planning Commissioners. Thank you for being here for our special Planning Commission meeting involving the general plan. If anybody in the audience needs Spanish interpretation, we do have a Spanish interpreter here. So should anyone come in behind me, maybe you can let me know and we can let them know about the service. So I'm going to be giving a PowerPoint about the environmental impact report. This is a draft environmental document that's accompanying our 2050 general plan update, as you are well aware of. We have consultants in the room with us from Rincon and ITERIS for any questions you may have regarding the written document. We also have our counsel, Krista LaVega, from our city attorney's office online for any questions. It'll be a presentation. I'll answer any questions you may have, and then we'll break for a station exercise with our consultants, or we have five stations involving certain topics within our draft environmental document, and then we'll reconvene, finalize any other questions or comments you may have, and then look for a receive and file motion by way of that. So I'll just get started. So the agenda, as noted, we're just going to be talking real high level what CEQA requires for environmental review, certain milestones we've had within the project regarding that process, looking at the level of environmental analysis, how our environmental impact report is structured, involving the summary findings and alternatives. We also released our noise element chapter the same day that the environmental impact report was released, which was June 30th. So, and then we talk about how to submit public comment, next steps, and then our station activity. So the California Environmental Quality Act applies to projects that require discretionary approval from the state or local agency. The city determined for the general plan that a programmatic EIR was the necessary document to evaluate the environmental impacts of the general plan. This is very high-level environmental impact report with the assumption that future private development projects will be subject to their own environmental analysis that would tier off of this document. This process obviously includes the publication and public comment that we're receiving on it. The intent behind the document is to identify any potential impacts and to help minimize, reduce, and avoid those impacts of a worst-case scenario, and then adopt mitigation measures to reduce those impacts. So this is the timeline related to the environmental review component of our general plan document. As you can see, we are here where we are soliciting comments on the draft environmental document from members of the public and public agencies and before you at this Planning Commission meeting. The review period is 45 days. That ends August 14th. We have extended the general plan comment period to mirror that, so there's no confusion. So both comments on the general plan and the EIR will be August 14th by 5 p.m. After that, we'll compute all of the comments we receive on both documents, and then those documents will be presented before you and City Council in September and October, and we'll have a final version of that EIR for your review and adoption. So we began this CEQA process of the environmental document in May of last year, where we had a notice of preparation issued and a scoping meeting was held that month. The notice of preparation review closed, and as noted before, we had the draft issued on June 30th. Public comment period will end August 14th, with the final ER completed after looking at those comments over September. So the environmental analysis, that environmental document like an EIR, goes through a variety of topics, as shown on your screen, from bio, cultural resources, hazardous materials, population and housing, noise, air quality, mineral resources, utilities and service systems. So there is a chapter, if you will, dedicated to each of these topics. And when the consultants reviewed the draft document as it relates to these topics to see if it's identified any potential impact, if it's more than significant, there are mitigation measures to help bring that impact to a less than significant level. So the EIR is structured accordingly as noted on the screen. We have an intro and summary, which includes an executive summary, the project description involving the general plan, and then setting impacts and mitigation for each topic area. Again, as noted, if there is an impact that could be more than significant or have a relevance of significance, there are mitigation measures proposed specific to that impact. Again, the EIR is a programmatic EIR, meaning it looks at a series of connected actions when we'll govern future activities and decisions rather than a specific development project or property. So the EIR identified 11 environmental factors with no or less than no or less than significant impacts. So no mitigation measures are required within these topics: aesthetics, ag and forest resources, energy, hazardous materials, hydrology, land use and planning, population, public services, transportation, utilities and service systems, and wildfire. The EIR identified 6 less than significant impacts with mitigation measures incorporated. So these are ones that had a level of impact and have proposed policies to help lessen that impact to a less than significant level. These are air quality, biological resources, geology and soils, greenhouse gas emissions, noise, and tribal cultural resources. These are the stations, these topics are the stations that you will participate in later on in today's meeting. So each impact has a proposed mitigation measure or policies that would bring that down to a less than significant level. So with these 6 identified areas, we have 15 mitigation measures total. For air quality, we have mitigation measures including construction and operational health risk assessments. For biology, we have quite a few. We have 8 mitigation measures, including screening and assessment, surveys, trying to minimize any special plant species or avoid them, provide habitat restoration plans, additional assessments, avoidance and minimization of potential threatened animal species, and pre-construction surveys, as well as others. For geology and soils, we have policies for the protection of paleontological resources. Greenhouse gas emissions, electric-only development to the extent feasible is a policy. With noise, we have mitigations to help lessen construction noise, and such as a construction vibration control plan and a noise disturbance coordinator. Tribal cultural resources, we require the retention of a qualified professional for infield discovery. And so going to these further, or in addition to these, the EIR has identified 4 significant and unavoidable impacts. So for air quality, this is basically an effect of the fact that construction will happen. So with construction, there will be noise and emissions that will be generated that may impact local air quality at the time of construction. This is an unavoidable impact because construction will happen. For cultural resources, those 2 impacts that you see there, same kind of thing. Construction will happen, earthwork will happen. There may be discovery of potential historic resources or archaeological resources that might be unavoidable, but how we help lessen that impact is by way of involving a paleontological or an archaeologist or native consultant on site during that. Noise, again, construction unavoidable. How can we attenuate that noise or lessen that noise impact for those isolated incidents that will have high noise generation from construction? But that is why they're considered 4 significant and unavoidable impacts. We can address them through measures, but they will happen. So with that, all significant and unavoidable impacts are also cumulative and significant and unavoidable, as I just mentioned. So as part of an environmental document and EIR, you're required to look at alternatives. There's the no project alternative. There's an expansion alternative, which looks at going further beyond city boundaries into our sphere of influence and to SOAR land. There is distributed development, which would increase development in part of our SOAR land. And then the reduced development alternative, limiting growth to only a specific area of the city. After reviewing these with legal counsel, it is not suggested to really support any of the alternatives, as it would lead to a net loss with density if we go with alternative 4. Alternative 2 and 3 would require a SOAR vote, and alternative 1 is a no project, and we really do need our general plan. So as noted, we also released our noise element at the same day of the environmental impact report. This describes conditions of noise in the city, a lot of it contributed by our freeways going through our city, 3 of them. It provides goals, policies, and implementation actions for addressing noise issues. We have studying current and projected noise levels, identifying key issues and opportunities along with those goals and policies. Implementation actions regarding noise include collaborating with industrial and ag property owners to help lessen noise impacts from their operations, coordinating with the fairgrounds for a long-term strategy to help reduce noise from the facility, a noise ordinance update, and then developing a noise complaint process. So how to submit public comment, announcements, and next steps. So we know that we have our wonderful planventura.com website, and we have a special landing page for our environmental impact report. Again, the deadline for comments for both the EIR and the general plan are August 14th, and you can email those comments to planventura@cityofventura.ca.gov. We also have another announcement. We have made a special landing page for all Spanish materials. We've had the objectives and policies of the entire general plan translated by a certified Spanish translation company. We have past PowerPoints in Spanish, videos that have Spanish subtitles, a fact sheet, and other information to help further broaden outreach to our monolingual community. And that deadline for that public comment is the same, August 14th. So these, I love seeing now four boxes. I don't know if you remember, there was like 10, and then there were 8, and now there's only 4. So after this, we wait till August 14th, and then get all the public comment we've received, which frankly has been very minimal so far, but we'll see what happens on the 14th. We review all that public comment for both the environmental document and the draft general plan. We'll be back before you with the final versions of both of those documents at a meeting on September 24th. That is your only item for that meeting. And then we'll be before City Council October 21st for the same. And now I would like to break and we'll commence our station activity with our consultants from RINCON and iTerrace. But before we do that, this concludes my part of the presentation, and I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Commissioner, you have any questions before we break into? Do you want to? Are we breaking before or after the public comment?
So, if there's public comment for this item where they'd like to speak at the dais or at the podium, they can do that now, and then we'll break for the activity.
So, do you guys have any questions before I open it up for a few minutes for public comment? All right, so I am going to open up the public hearing for this item. Mr. Clerk, do we have any public speakers?
Thank you, Chair. We do not have anybody online who's indicated they want to speak, nor do we have anybody in the room who has submitted a card.
Okay, thank you. Then I will close the public hearing, and then we can open it up for the stations.
All right, well, I would love to invite you down to our stations. We have a biological resource station over here, a cultural resources, tribal resources, and geology and soils, air quality and greenhouse gas emissions, noise should be over there in that back corner, and then a general comment, open comment, whatever you want to talk about as it pertains to the environmental document over here, and there'll be a staff member at each of those stations.
Okay, we'll give you guys a minute to station up. All right. Commission, you have any other questions for City? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Let's see. I wanted to ask Maruja. This is a question I asked her one-on-one, but I wanted to ask it for the benefit of the whole group. And it was addressed over in that station by Rachel, but I went over to the general comments section and I asked about the REACH code regarding the requirement for electrical versus where feasible versus having gas supplies. So could you go ahead, for the benefit of the entire group, go over that again?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Abbey. So a REACH code is requirements that go above and beyond our current building code requirement, particularly as it pertains to electrification and alternative energy. We are coming up our new building code. They'll be effective next year. They're on 3-year cycles. And currently, I believe that the current building code, and so we'll have it in the future building code, requires all new residential to be all electric. We highlighted a bit AB 130 very shortly or circumstantially at one of the stations, the new law that came down from the state that looks to help address the lack of housing projects in the state by way of finding possible exemptions through CEQA to help expedite housing. With that, it kind of has a twofold or multiple fold in that any kind of new mandates for electrification beyond what is required per code are really told to pause. You know, let's hit the pause button on it. So we can't require anything beyond what the code requires today as it pertains to electrification. But we can do, and what Director Diamond has shared with you at one of the stations, is look to incentivizing ways to encourage people that are coming through the process, either from a commercial development or a residential development, to go above and beyond with what code requires. And that incentivizing can be lessing administrative fees, expedited plan check, other ways that we can help dangle the carrot, if you will, to get people there and do more than what code requires, to just help bring our electrification and our GHG emissions, or address our GHG emissions through electrification. So that is how we are going around a REACH code, but looking to incentivize as in accordance with the CARB that you endorsed in February of this year.
I have a quick follow-up question on that.
Sure.
So did the new law reduce the GHG emission goals?
No, the new law apparently just didn't want to add any new requirements beyond what code requires for development to help encourage development. And Director Diamond, I'm not sure if you want to expand a bit more. I think I got it, but you may want to. Okay, she gave me a thumbs up, so yes. Thank you.
Other questions? Go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for everyone for the presentation, and Maruja and Director Diamond. I really appreciated the thoroughness of it. Just on to grab on to Commissioner Abbey's comment. When we, if we do something like incentivize, do all electric for like a residential project, would there also be some type of incentive for pre-wiring for solar and things like that?
Beyond, go ahead, Rachel.
Sure. Those are the types of things that we'd be looking at in the REACH code as ways to continue to incentivize and potentially require, in certain cases where we can, ways to get buildings ready for additional alternative power.
I have a quick question, but I also want to express my appreciation for all the work that went into this. I've had to do public meetings for the Navy, and I know how much work goes into these things. And then it's always a little disheartening when the public doesn't really show up. So I feel for you, but it is much appreciated. I do understand how much work went into putting all that together. So my only question is, it was a little confusing. I don't know if you can bring you have it still up. Can you go back? So it's a little confusing because you have under the 6 less than significant impacts with mitigation incorporated, you have an AQ2 and an NOI1, But then those are also listed with the same terminology under the, you know, so there's AQ2 and NOI1 under the impacts that would be considered significant and unavoidable. So is that intentional that they have the same coding, or are these two different things? Like, that's confusing that they're both.
So, and I can also lean to our consultant from Rincon to better address these questions, but within each topic area are a variety of impacts. So like for noise, there's like NO1, NO2, NO3. You might not have, and this is an example, I'm going exact into it, but like you might not hit an impact for one or two, but you'll hit it for three. Or you'll hit one as maybe significant, unavoidable, and then another one is less than significant with mitigation measures. So they would be twofold. You would have it in this impact under noise can be mitigated, but this other impact in noise cannot be mitigated, and this is one of our significant and unavoidable impacts. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Okay. Maybe Lexi, would you be able to maybe, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, the reason that the numbers are in different orders is because each number corresponds to the CEQA checklist and what impact you're evaluating under the CEQA checklist. It's like Maruha said, for the AQ1, which I believe is if you would conflict with a local air quality plan, that's less significant because you don't conflict with it. But then the next one about operational and construction emissions, you would. So that's why the numbering is like that.
Well, I'm not so concerned about the numbering as I'm just saying that, so for under the significant impacts with mitigation incorporated, AQ2 is require projects to conduct an operational HRA. And then under the impacts significant and unavoidable, the AQ2 is this long development facilitated by the proposed project would generate construction, blah, blah, blah. So I guess I'm not following why they have the same, why are they both AQ2? I just think it's confusing.
There must be a mistake somewhere. So
that's what I'm thinking.
Same for NOI1. So NOI1 under, with mitigations incorporated, NOI1 is to minimize noise during construction, the city of Ventura shall require blah, blah, blah. And then under the impacts, NOI1 is construction of individual projects carried out under the proposed project would temporarily increase noise level. You know, I don't know if, maybe I'm not, I mean, I do this partially for a living, so I'm just confused why they would be.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out maybe where there is a typo.
I think the labeling is wrong on NOI1 as impact. Great catch there. If you continue on to future slides where it shows the mitigatable.
Well, I'm also looking at the staff report.
Yeah, I think the number got, you know what happens is that it starts to change the numbers. So the four significant and unavoidable impacts, it's not NOI1. This is labeled incorrectly, you'll see here, and in the staff report. And let me just get to the bottom of it.
So that one should be NO2.
Yeah, so the significant and unavoidable would be NOI2. And then if you go to
or
the next.
Three. Right, because there's NOI1 and 2 under the ones with mitigation. So there's already NOI1 and 2. And that's why I was confused, because it is NOI3 over there where it's unavoidable, correct? On the poster, it's NOI3. That's unavoidable?
I believe so. I was going to look at the EIR executive summary.
I guess my main point is that they probably shouldn't be the same if they're under two different categories.
Yeah, the numbering is just wrong. Okay. I apologize for that.
Yeah, we'll definitely double check the numbering both in the table as well as the document itself to ensure that there isn't duplication.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for checking that.
I'm glad that finally made sense. Everybody's looking at me like I had three heads. That is all I had. Anybody else? Are we doing a motion tonight to pass this on?
No, there's no motion required.
Just comments and receive and file.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, this all feels awkward because we're all out of order. So, that leaves us with just any planning communications.
We have our regularly scheduled planning commission meeting this Wednesday. We'll see you all then. And thank you again to the community for coming this evening. We're just trying to move the general plan along, and we anticipate coming back for final recommendations at your regularly scheduled September meeting as well. And on Wednesday, we'll have a presentation of all the director hearing actions that have taken place since the last report out.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you very much. Everybody good? All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.